soccer matters.
Quick shot, score! The US with Dempsey!
To Fabregas, who looks for Iniesta, who's onside! Spain score!
Entonces el centro, remate de gol! Gol de oro! Gol de oro! Gol de Oribe!
This is Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Coming up, interview with Dynamo head coach Ben Olsen. We've also got later on the show Alex Parra with SG1, the youth soccer club. We'll talk some player development. By the way, the show is always brought to you by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm, DaspitLaw.com. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys. They want to handle your case. It's the best roster of personal injury attorneys. They're going to work for you 24/7, nights and weekends. By the way, you get in an accident, you want the best. It's got to be the best. And the best is the Daspit Law Firm. It's DaspitLaw.com. 713-CALL-NOW. 713-CALL-NOW. John and his firm have gotten soccer on the airwaves, and we truly appreciate everything John has done. We did talk Real Madrid today, 1-1 with Manchester City. We've talked some Houston Dynamo, big week for the Dynamo and the Dash. We have to remind you that the Friday night Dash game, which will air on AT&T Sportsnet, the Dash are in eighth place now. They're 1-2-3. They're 0-1-1 at home. Now, they've got a trio of really attacking talent up front that have yet to click yet. In Ordóñez, Diana Ordóñez, Ebony Salmon, and Maria Sanchez. So they're going to break out at some point. They've got Portland, who's number two in the league table, highest scoring team in the league with 17, they will be coming in on Friday night. So there you go. Plus nine goal differential for them. Christine Sinclair, Sophia Smith, Crystal Dunn, Becky Sauerbrunn, some of the big stars from the past. Real quick here. You're going to hear more about, you know, player development talk in the youth soccer community. I'm hearing some crazy stuff that's going on out there, and it really is. I mean, there is one club, supposedly, I've heard this, that is going to other clubs' tryouts, videotaping their players and their parents if they're going to a different tryout to, you know, then kind of. I mean, it's absolutely bizarre. The signing of contracts, how this youth environment now mirrors the professional game. It's shameful, some of it. I'm going to say it's shameful, some of it. I understand the pay-to-play model. That's the way it is in the United States. I don't have a problem with that. We're not Ecuador. We're not Argentina. We're not Paraguay. I don't have a problem with that. I have a problem with the abuse of it. I have the problem of these false claims where youth soccer clubs are saying they're revolutionizing the youth game. They're changing the landscape of the youth game. And, you know, really preying on the minds of maybe parents of youth that don't have a lot of experience in the game. And taking advantage of parents, I think. Now, the parents aren't perfect either. But I will tell you one thing. If you're looking for a soccer club, you're looking for people with integrity. You're looking for a coach that is a good soccer coach that cares about kids. And if you're going to jump from club to club and chase the next great thing, you're not going to do your son or daughter a good thing. Find a good coach. Stick with that coach. That's the simplest advice that I can give. But when I hear some of these things, it's incredible. And I spent 11 years out there. I understand. It's a very different environment. The money being made now was nothing back then. I mean, I didn't care about money because I just loved coaching so much. And I think there were a lot of my contemporaries who felt the same way. But it's pretty bizarre. All right, so let's go to Arsenal. And let me bring in Andrew Carlson. Okay, this was big. 2-0 victory over Newcastle. Martin Odegaard would get the first goal in this one. Why don't we take a listen to this, Andrew, so we can lighten up the airwaves with Arsenal's ultimate game-winning goal.
Saka. Jorginho. Odegaard! That is a piercing hit! Arsenal will not be subservient! Arsenal will not surrender their title!
There you go. Not surrendering. So you've positioned yourself well, and now we take a look at this weekend, right? And we take a look and see what Man City is going to do at Everton.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. Sunday, you've got City go to Everton, which I believe is the 8 a.m. game down here. Obviously, a different time over in England. And then the 10:30 game should be Arsenal hosting Brighton. So you will have a very clear idea of what the picture is looking like with 3 game weeks left for City, 2 game weeks left for Arsenal. And it's funny how it sort of shapes up now, Glenn. For the longest time, with City chasing Arsenal, it felt like all the pressure was on the Gunners the entire time. It was, you have to keep pace with City, you have to keep pace with City. And now that you're the ones doing the chasing, it feels like the pressure has shifted a little bit to what City are going to have to do, especially with some of these games. Now they've got Brentford away, Brighton away, and then Everton away are the 3 hardest games in their 4 remaining. So those are not all easy fixtures, especially against a team like Everton, who is going to fight tooth and nail to remain in the Premier League. I'm very fascinated to see, with all the fixtures that are piling up for City, we saw Real Madrid just today, is there going to be any effects that, you know, sort of end up impacting that squad and that team at all in some of these Premier League games?
I thought I might have seen a detection of some fatigue today in City. I really did. Now, whether that's true or not, who knows? I mean, you got to think there is some fatigue, but you also got to know that they can handle that. I mean, they have a tremendous roster, but it's going to be very interesting to see what Guardiola does. And, hey, there's also pressure being the guys chasing, too, because you got to keep winning.
Oh, absolutely.
You got to keep winning.
Absolutely. But I feel like the expectations have almost lifted a little bit, in a sense, because you were the leaders for so long, and they had that stretch where it felt like the weight of the world, at least from the outside looking in, seemingly was on their shoulders. They didn't look like that against Newcastle this past weekend. They looked like the Arsenal that we saw for the majority of the first 20 or 25 games this year, where Newcastle was pressing them. They were being physical. Didn't matter. Just ping the ball around them. Up the pitch we go. And it was a lot of fun to watch.
All right, let's get Arteta. This is Soundbite 14 on a statement Arsenal win.
I think the word to describe it is pride. When you have question marks, you have to resolve those question marks straight away. And when you had the emotions that we had last year in that dressing room, you have to make sure that you feel them again to realize how difficult, how nasty, and how unpleasant they are. And then you have to find a way to approach the game in a different way, because the demands were going to be higher than last year. And I think the boys did that extremely well, so I'm really proud of them.
Arteta went on to this is Soundbite 15, kind of put a note on where this performance ranks for him during this great season.
Today feels the best because the last one and the one on the day feels the day. But we have won in very difficult grounds this season. We've done it really consistently, as you said, in different ways. This game demanded something different to Stamford Bridge or playing against the Spurs. But we did what the game demanded, and that was really smart from us.
So that was Mikel Arteta, and it's not over till it's over, till that fat lady sings, so there's still a race on. Andrew, thank you for that, as always, our Arsenal expert. And this is the Hip Shake by Jesse Dayton. It's going around. All right, so a couple things here real quick. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. We've got Danish Dynamite coming up with Jan Christensen of Danish Inspirations, Modern Contemporary Furniture. We've got Ben Olsen, the Houston Dynamo coach. This is an interview you're not going to want to miss. He goes deep into some of the goal-scoring issues and things. And we also want you to follow us and sign up and subscribe to Spotify, Apple, Google Play. Get the podcast of this show. And we're going to take a break here. As we go to break, we're going to try to give away a couple more of these tickets. Let's do a 4-pack to the Houston Dash on Friday night. 4-pack, 713-780-3776.
ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Move over your sound!
Real.
on Sports. You're listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters here on ESPN 97.5. A quick word here for our great friends at Lamont Brothers. LamontBrands.com, that's where you get the T-shirts from the show, the hats, all the proceeds go to the 501c charity, the Snowdrop Foundation, for pediatric cancer research and awareness. None better to get than the head coach of the Houston Dynamo. He's Ben Olsen. He joins us now. Ben, thank you for your time.
Are you anything?
Well, I appreciate that. That's a nice thing to hear. You better be careful now. That's on record now. I could be coming to you for a lot of other things. So, but you know me, I'm not gonna push it too hard here. Let's talk a little bit about just some of the pros and cons out of the RSL game.
Yeah, it's pretty clear. The pros are another shutout. Fifth in a row at home is pretty impressive. You know, it's a credit to the entire group. Everybody's really focused on being tough to break down, and both structurally and also the little extra efforts. You know, blocking shots and closing down crosses and defending the box in the right way. So, in a lot of different ways, we're making the plays that matter on the defensive end. Steve had a big game. Was really solid. Made a few high level saves. So that part continues to be something we can hang our hat on. The offensive part still is a work in progress, and we're not. But that's it's getting a little old saying that, right? We need to start rewarding ourselves and put some responsibility on each other to be better. In the last pass or the decision making or seeing out of play and touching the net. And that part just is not, you know, we've let ourselves down a lot with that over the course of this season. We continue to work on it. We continue to dissect it, from diagrams and video and tactical pads, and also then put it onto the field and try to just keep pushing along so that's all we can do. We'll just keep working at it. It's not like you don't throw your hands up. You just keep getting back to work. And we've seen better movement in that way as far as getting into those spots more and the right numbers into the box. And so now that next thing is to kind of really open up the floodgates and touch the net a few times. But it's coming.
Did you feel good about the quality of the chances? They sure look good from my vantage point because a number of them were right in front of me.
Yeah, no. There's plenty. You got Corey's, you got Coco's, you got Sebas has a really good one, and there's plenty there. There's plenty there to win that game. Very disappointed with the not getting all the points at home, but when you take the emotion out of it, you do get a point. You continue, not losing at home, and overall the performance was, I thought, really good. And we're unlucky not to take all the points. So we keep chugging along. We have a busy week. You got KC coming with the Open Cup, and then Seattle, and then Minnesota and Dallas. So it's going to come fast and furious, and we're looking forward to that. The message of the players is, everybody is to really take care of themselves physically, so they're available as much as possible. And it's you got to be ready to be called on if. For a lot of those guys that have not gotten significant minutes up until this point.
Houston Dynamo head coach Ben Olsen ahead of Sporting Kansas City tomorrow. You can get tickets, HoustonDynamo.com. This should be good tomorrow in the Lamar Hunt U.S. Open Cup. Busy week, then the Dynamo take on Seattle at home here on Saturday. Talking to Ben Olsen, I ask this really respectfully, and I want to make sure you understand that I'm asking this respectfully. But if we look at the recent times for Amin Bassi, Corey Baird, Coco Karaskia, Hector to that degree, they haven't had big goal scoring years. Are we maybe expecting too much?
Good question. Potentially. Yeah, potentially. Is it the most from a data standpoint, stats, goal scoring, that crew, their history would not tell you that we're going to be the best attacking team in the league. but they're capable of scoring. We're capable with this group to score more than we have been. We've scored goals in a bunch of different ways. But I don't think that we are under any illusions that this attack that we have currently isn't going to look differently, you know, whether it's in the short term or long term. So this is, again, my evaluation of a group is a big part of it is how can we get a result right now for who we are, okay, with an eye towards the future and where we're going.
I think that's an important thing you just said because, you know, you have just made it very clear you have to have a short memory in Major League Soccer. But, boy, I mean, if we look back in history and we look at teams in April, May, and June, and then we look at them at the end of the season, in a lot of ways, the core minutes, they change a lot, right? I mean, there could be a lot of change.
MLS is three different seasons. It's the beginning, you're figuring yourselves out. Then the summer, you have a transfer window. It's summer's heat, and that – you know, you get injuries and suspensions and you have to kind of utilize everybody. And then, you know, then you have a summer transfer window and you get some additions and then you have the rest of the year. So to me, it's three seasons and we're kind of coming to the end of that first part. Into the second one, we've got some new additions still coming. Eric Sviatchenko is coming hopefully one of these days. It's been a little bit, the delay isn't ideal, but he'll be back soon enough. Ibrahim has been with us now over the last day or two, and he looks the part. And he's going to be, I think, a huge addition to our attack and hopefully answer a little bit of your probing question before as far as here's a guy who does have a history, you know, a short history of scoring goals and getting on the end of things, and hopefully he can help us in that area. But I'll go back to your question as well. We also don't have five shutouts at home without some of those players on the field as well. So it's always a you know, it ends up being a debate of, you know, how can you get results in this league? And yes, there's more attack-minded goal scoring historical players on the bench that can produce moments, but maybe they're not capable of helping us win the games. And that's the kind of what I have to go through week in, week out. I, meaning, you know, our staff. So far, I think we've been able to make, you know, some okay decisions up in this point to keep us, you know, in the spot we're in. But I would say things will change. We got some attacking pieces now with Brad Smith coming back into it as well for more service and providing. And then we have, you know, Sebas is coming into form. You could see his rhythm getting back. And I think Ibrahim's going to help in that category as well.
Talking to Ben Olsen, Houston Dynamo head coach, pleased to have his time on this show tonight. Again, Sporting Kansas City in town tomorrow, Seattle on Saturday. It's getting jam-packed here. It's the second of seven this month. Let's just go back to Mikel. I thought he did a nice job for you in this game based on not having a lot of Major League Soccer minutes, the Brazilian center back.
I'm glad you mentioned him. He's played a half last year and he did okay. He's got some D2 games. I credit Kenny working with him and getting him up to speed here. Aurelian Collin, who's kind of a little bit of a defensive coach for us, has really taken him under his wing and guided him, you know, since preseason. So really, really nice to see him have a good performance for him, for the team, for the circumstance we're in with no teenage for a few months. So this is, you don't know till they're out there. And you next man up, it was a next man up decision. And he came in and did a good job. And, you know, he'll face better attacks now going forward. So he'll be tested even more. So if he can keep that consistency up, that'll be the next challenge to kind of stay at that level. I was really happy for him, but now it's about that consistency and staying there.
Ben, for a moment like that, for you as a coach, with a player that you realize has potential, you're still not sure about him in game situations. He has a game like that. Do you now feel substantially more confident in using him in the future?
No doubt. And I think, you know, you'll see in the Open Cup game, it'll be similar. There's going to be some guys out there that haven't had a lot of minutes this year. So these are all opportunities. There are opportunities for the player. It's opportunities for us to learn about them and increase our depth, because really you only increase your depth by getting these guys on the field and getting them fit enough and well-versed enough and competing against the highest level they can. And it's really fulfilling when you see a kid that you've been working with and hasn't had opportunities to get on the field, and then they take it. It's a really nice feeling from a staff standpoint, and I think the players too. He's a great guy, and the players root for him, and so hopefully he can continue taking his chance.
Yeah, there's no question. You got a lot of things moving in the correct and the right direction here. Can I take you back to Aliyu Ibrahim and just with your little vision of him over the last 2 days, some of the things that maybe jump out to you as a manager?
He's just what we thought he was so far in training. Guy that can score, a guy that threatens the line constantly, good pace, good physicality, and, has a, I think so far, again, it's been only a day or two of training, but really pleased with his habits, defensive effort. Structurally, like what he understands, already without even giving him a lot of information, what we want out of him defensively. So we've been playing him more high. We know he can go wide and be versatile in that he's done both of those in Croatia. But we're just excited. We know the attack hasn't been great. So any new addition to the attack to spark that or give us an option to spark that is exciting for us.
First initial thoughts, you see him as a center forward or maybe a guy wide, or is that too early to tell?
It's early. It's early, but I think the way he moves and pushes the line and runs in behind and his goal scoring ability and ability to see out plays and get on the end of things. I'd like to see him at the nine, but we know he can always go wide.
Ben Olsen, Houston Dynamo head coach, Sporting Kansas City in town tomorrow. That ought to be good. Back to one last question. Thor Olfarsson, where do you see him now? Has he got some opportunity, you think, coming this month?
Yes. Yeah, he'll have some opportunity in a very short term. So again, that's tomorrow. There's going to be some players that have need minutes and need to show that they're up to speed, and it's just a great opportunity for a few of them. And looking forward to, he's a guy that has all the tools, and can score left foot, right foot, good size, good athleticism, soft feet for a bigger guy. So he's got a lot of tools, and now but it's up to him. He's got to start figuring some things out. And when he comes in, he's been unlucky not to get more minutes this year because he's been given very, very few minutes to really show his stuff. And that's a frustrating thing as a player. And, I'm sympathetic to that. And he's performed well at training. So he'll get his opportunity to show.
You've gone through this so many times before over your long history in Major League Soccer, both as a player and a coach with, the condensed schedule, 3 games in 8 or 9 days. There's a lot of decisions you have to go over. And I kind of want to make the fans aware of, what you go through when it comes to looking at this as a singular game Wednesday, different competition in combination with a huge game against Seattle, and you're talking about the number one team, and you're talking about a team that just beat Seattle. So these are really interesting challenges.
Yeah, it's a puzzle, right? And it starts even before Salt Lake. You're trying to map out the week. All focus goes on the next game with Salt Lake, right? And then, but behind the scenes, you're working on the week schedule and Wednesday and what that group may look like. And then you need to know what Sunday's group looks like. To then kind of make sure that you're covered and you're competitive on Wednesday and you're setting yourself up to win that game, but also understanding that you got one of the best teams in the league coming at home in a league game. And what are our priorities as a club right now? Of course, you want to win everything. You want to win every game. It's culture we want to bring here. But it's also those realities that guys need minutes, and there's not a lot of opportunity over the next 2 months to see what certain guys have. And So it'll be a mixed bag. And on Wednesday, I can tell you that right now, you know, Monday, Tuesday, mostly focused on making sure that team on Wednesday is set up to succeed, that they're clear on, you know, their offensive, the defensive roles, transition moments, set pieces, you know, you give them all the information that they need to have success on Wednesday. The one thing that gets a little bit brushed under the rug in a week like this sometimes is the Salt Lake game, you know, where usually you're reviewing, spending a lot of time on yourselves on the Salt Lake game. Sometimes you don't have enough manpower to do that collectively. So maybe after training, you're doing that individually with some players, that certain individuals in the Salt Lake game that you want to get a feel for or review their game, they could have did better or in certain moments, or there's some, you want to get the defense together after training. So it's more of an individual group sessions to review Salt Lake in a week like this. You give the 2 days leading into Wednesday on KC. We will be a split group. We'll bring some guys in tomorrow morning that are going to factor into Salt to Seattle game, and we'll start diving in with those guys on Seattle. So it's a dance. And then we get back Thursday, and we dig into Seattle as a collective group, and all eyes are on Seattle.
Last one before we let you go. We really like this interview. Very enlightening. Thank you very much for taking the time. All right. So, you know, you're looking at all these personnel decisions, and you haven't been a player. You know, guys hurt what they're not playing. They're hurting. It's affecting them. There's all these decisions that you have to make. Does your brain still work at night? Like, do you wake up in the middle of the night going, geez, I need to give this guy a few additional minutes, or do you sleep right through the night? I'm very curious, because you got so many decisions you have to make, and they also include people's livelihoods.
3:15 to about 4:45 last night. I wasn't sleeping then, but that's part of it. That's part of the game. You know, you just like, you know, you wake up with a thought and a loop, and it goes. And, you know, some days I sleep really well. Some days the brain's a little full and it needs some extra thought in the middle of the night. Yeah. But it's good. I'm not complaining.
You've never been a complainer, but I just was curious, because I know your brain's working all the time. You're responsible for a lot of people, their livelihoods. I know, you know, you as a player, you knew what it like when you didn't play. I mean, all these things come in, and the amount of decisions you have to make is probably remarkable, especially in a heavy month like May. Ben, thanks very much. Best of luck starting with tomorrow night, then into the weekend.
Okay, bro. Thanks for the time. See you.
Nice stuff there from Houston Dynamo head coach Ben Olsen. Sporting Kansas City tomorrow. By the way, they got their first win of the year on Saturday at Lumen Field against Seattle. They got a goal and an assist from Eric Tommy. They also got a goal from Alan Polito back after the ACL injury. So they have spent their money on DPs in the attacking positions, and they came through for their first win. Expect mixed lineups for both teams tomorrow night in the Open Cup, as both teams will play this weekend. Dynamo will host the number one team in the West on Saturday, the Seattle Sounders. All right, big thank you to John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. John and his firm, personal injury attorneys, you need somebody to fight for your right for compensation if you get in an accident. So if you get in a car, boat, motorcycle accident, you want the best. The best, it's really simple. It's DaspitLaw.com. John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW. They are bilingual. They are huge supporters of the game of soccer. And by the way, huge supporters of Soccer Matters right here on ESPN 97.5. By the way, follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Glenn Davis Sock, at Soccer Matters GD. And subscribe to the podcast of Soccer Matters on Spotify, on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and on. All right, we'll take a break. We'll come back. We got some youth development talk coming up.
Listening to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 92.5.
Brought to you by the Daspit Law Firm. From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Glenn Davis.
All right, welcome back to Soccer Matters on ESPN 97.5. Just want to remind you about LamontBrands.com. That's where you get the Soccer Matters t-shirts. Variety of colors down there. We've also got a new trucker hat. The proceeds go to the 501c charity, the Snowdrop Foundation. So we really appreciate everything Lamont Brands are doing for us, printing up those T-shirts. And, of course, our choice of donation is the Snowdrop Foundation. And it's a perfect tie-in for our next guest. Great contributor not only to charity but to our youth soccer scene. He heads up SG1 out in the Katy area. He is Alex Parra. You will also know him as a voice of a lot of sports here in media, including the Houston Dynamo in the past. And he joins us now. How are you, Alex?
Mr. Glenn Davis, always an honor and a pleasure to be with you, sir. Thank you for the invite and for all of those that are listening in our soccer community. Muy buen día, buenas tardes, buenas noches, depending on when you listen to us. It's always great to be with you, Glenn. Thank you.
Do you want to do this bilingual? Because mi español es no bueno para nada.
Perfecto. Lo que quieras, Glenn Davis. I'm with you, sir.
I think we better stick to English in this, right? All right. But I do go around telling people I speak two languages. You know that. Just kidding. All right. Let's get into it. First of all, I want to thank you and your soccer club, SG1. You held another great Kick Cancer event, second year in a row. You guys lived up to it again. We appreciate all the hard work from not only you, Norma, but also your coaching staff for being out there. So I hope they understand how much we're grateful for. And you did a great job doing it again. And anything you want to comment on at all, the proceeds went to the Snowdrop Foundation, the 501c charity. Anything you want to say about the clinic?
Glenn, this a lot. First of all, thank you to everyone involved, including yourself, sir, you are the architect, the intellectual author of getting all this put together. So my first thanks goes to you, the Snowdrop Foundation. Excuse me. I should know what I'm talking about here. All our coaches that were there, the administration that was there, Andrew, who was out there, who's also been a driving force with Snowdrop. And more than anything, the parents and families and children that were out there learning about this, you know, coming together. We come together in good. We come together in bad. It's about coming together and having a common cause here. One thing I mentioned in this clinic that took place at Katy International, Glenn, was us paying it forward. Every one of us, Glenn, will need help in our lives, period. No matter who you are, no matter what you've quote unquote achieved, we're all human beings. We all need support, mental, physical, emotional, and that's all part of this journey. So I'm proud and honored to be a little piece that can hopefully make a difference in anyone's life. If any of you are listening, please know that Snowdrop Foundation is there for you, for your families. If there are other issues in your lives, please talk to someone. Please talk to a friend. And Glenn, it's not about donating $1 or $1 million. It's about a smile. It's about a friendly gesture. It's about a conversation. You can change people's lives, Mr. Glenn Davis, just by being there for them, even if it takes 5 minutes. So all of that to me takes us to this place, and we're benefiting Snowdrop Foundation. But the thanks is to everyone that's participated. We want to make it bigger and stronger as we move forward. And thanks again to you for getting behind all this and helping me in particular, SG1 Soccer Club, be a part of it.
Well, SG1 did a great job again, and we're very excited with what you guys did. And you couldn't have spoken any truer words. And, you know, the interesting thing is, Alex, you're speaking about this at a time where we lost a great member of our Houston soccer community, Tom Clare, the noted author, historian. He started Manchester United Supporters Group, but Tom was a huge, huge advocate for pediatric cancer awareness and fundraising. We did it through he spearheaded these banquets we did over the years, which brought in Manchester United players. But there was so much to that great man. So we're a little bit wounded right now. The other thing is I went to an event the other night called Chance for Hope, which was about a young man, Chance Davidson. It was at Silver Street Studios. And, you know, there's just a tremendous amount of people there giving as well on behalf of Chance. Saw his parents. He's a little guy that I had met in the hospital. So there's a lot of good going out there. We just have to look for it more. A lot of people want to throw the negative at us and fill our brains with the negative, but there's a lot more good people out there than there are in the other direction. And I think you guys are testament to that.
And Glenn, it's not just about SG1. It's about everyone in the community, whether it's the soccer community, whether in this particular case, the Katy community. These are the reasons we should come together. There's no, like in politics, you're not left, you're not right, you're a human being, and we all need each other, and we should do more like this, Glenn. And you challenged many soccer clubs to get out there and do more. Many do, many are involved, and many give back to the community. But I would love a world, Glenn, where we could all get together behind a cause or multiple causes and work together as a community. Imagine the energy, imagine the numbers, whatever event, if any of the clubs have anything they would like us, SG1, to participate in, you've said this, let's talk about it, let's get it done and help others. So we're willing and able, and this is part of our character, community, culture that we live every day at SG1.
We need the Houston soccer community to pull the oars in the same direction. You're never going to get fully everybody on board, but if you can move the needle in the other way, and I think there's been, you know, some things that have maybe moved us in the wrong direction. But I think from a charity perspective, most clubs do it. And to that, you have to tip your hat to them. You should do it for the correct reasons. And we know you're doing that. By the way, I have to give a shout out to Dynamo Soccer Club and Olivier Finidori also, yes, who, like you, did this for 16, 17 years. All right. So you soccer, I'll tell you this week, you know, because it's tryouts, it took me back to when I was involved with the Hurricane Soccer Club and was doing tryouts. And it's a time of anxiety, angst. It's tough on players, parents, coaches, staff. We all know there's no shortcuts in player development. Tryouts become this thing that really should be an experience for a young player, but it almost seems to me, with the feedback I'm getting this week, Alex, it's just such a time of anxiety for all elements of this. How do you guys do it at SG1, and how do you try to take that anxiety out of it?
Glenn, just this past week and this week, we're going through the tryout process. The first thing I question, and we try to change this at SG1, just that word, tryout, it has a connotation of, oops, I'm up against something I've got to deal with. Reality is, life is about failure and success. That happens to all of us. So I looked at it maybe as, instead of a tryout, is an evaluation for us to be able to look at players, but it goes both ways. New families, for instance, coming to SG1, we want them to look at us, our coaching style, our punctuality, our presentation, what it is that we're talking about, what service are we going to provide for families. So I talk to families every day during the tryout process. I say, listen, come here and don't have your son, your daughter be stressed out. Come out and be who you are. Be proud of who you are. More than likely, there's a place for you within our organization, a team. We have different levels. We're able at SG1 to have children, boys and girls, from 4 years old to 18, 19 years old. So there's a level we can find. Now, are there people and players that are developing faster than others? Absolutely. Gender aside, we want to develop those players, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But really, it's about communicating with families that this isn't the end all. And if you're 8 years old and you don't make a team, it doesn't mean it's the end of the world or that you've got now to spend even more money trying to catch up. Many of us will find our time. And I think if you stick to the process and you're patient, Mr. Glenn Davis, you will have an opportunity. No club in my mind, whether it's the Dynamo Dash Professional Organization or a first year recreational outfit, has a monopoly on soccer knowledge. It's not that complicated, Glenn. And I think we've made it complicated. It's about the basics, fundamentals. And I'm going to say this, one of the premises, Glenn, that gets lost in this, 99% of players that are out there today playing in Houston are not going to get to play at a Mr. Glenn Davis level or make the Dynamo Dash. That's just a fact. So the reality is, what lessons can players, well,
there is
families
no more
learn?
Dynamo Dash now also. We have to make that clear.
On the youth side, correct. I was talking about the Dynamo Dash professional.
Correct.
And that's a whole distinction there, and that's a topic we can discuss. But the reality, Glenn, is that with that, what lessons can you learn? I'm very upfront about telling moms and dads, families, we're here to help through soccer teach life lessons that are going to help your son or daughter become professionals, become not professional soccer players, but lawyers, doctors, ESPN personalities like Glenn Davis. All these lessons, Glenn, and winning and losing and hard work in the process help us to become better people, period. If, by the way, you are one of the exceptional players, we also develop players for the pathway to get to the next level. Again, there's not a monopoly. Any player that has that ability will be found, whether it's the SG1 or any other club.
Yeah, this is all good stuff. I think the expectation level of people has to be toned down a little bit, and I think we have to accelerate the value of team sports, individual personal development. Everybody knows, including you and me, we know it very well because we're older, that disappointment is a part of life, and it's how you respond to disappointment. If you don't make a particular tryout, your soccer career is not over. But for me, and the way I grew up is I had one coach that took me through, and he was a tremendous coach, and he was passionate. He had all the things. He gave us life skills as well as a tremendous coaching education. And for me, Alex, it comes down to really, maybe it's as simple as who your coach is.
Look, a coach, a mentor, someone that has the ability to do this, Glenn, is not just someone that knows X's and O's. It's not just someone that's got a curriculum of an A license, a CV with every course imaginable. It's about being someone that teaches, like you said, life lessons in those moments that are critical. Sure, there are people with more experience that know about making in-game adjustments. Look, you know this about soccer talk. I have great coaches that I've seen in my life who can put down a million cones and do great drills. But you put them under fire, under pressure in a game, what adjustments are they making? That, to me, is the value of a coach that knows what to do on the field. But it goes beyond that. Mentors, I use this word, and I use it intentionally. A lot of the coaches that we look for at SG1, Glenn, have a vocation for this, meaning they have a passion for it, meaning that they're out there in the sun, Saturday and Sunday, trying to help others. Yes, winning and finding a way to win is part of it, but it's not the only thing. And it goes back to that phrase. Different people have different ways of defining what player development means. To me, yes, it's about the basics, left foot, right foot balance, and the starting having players start to think for themselves, applicable individually and then collectively. Here's one of the problems I see, Glenn, and I talk about this every day. We're getting lost with players that have six voices literally in their head. Their club coach, their school coach, high school or junior high, their parents, by the way, that are a huge influence, their personal coach, their individual small group coach. Before you know it, what happens is that we collectively affect those players in a negative way because one coach is telling them one thing, another coach is telling them something else. And because they're competing for that child's attention, we're not coordinating this. We're not working together. And that's one of the things that hurts me, Glenn. If we came together somehow, we could help every single player become better. But there's so many interests involved here, including the soccer business, Glenn. That's a reality that hits everybody.
We didn't want to get into that, but the domination of money and people that are prioritizing money over player development is truly sad. There's too much to me that mirrors the youth game mirrors the professional game too much. We're talking contracts with 10 and 11 year olds. To me, it's unethical. It's not what an adult should be doing. The whole recruiting issues are a part of it. It becomes way too much. There are no shortcuts in player development. There is no shortcuts.
No.
And there you can see the people who are out there for the right reasons. And I would say to parents, be very careful with the you know, all these clubs have to market themselves, including yours.
We do.
I get it. But when you start dropping things like, we're the pathway to the pros, we are going to revolutionize the youth soccer community. You know, these are all buzzwords. Be very, very careful because the competition to get the numbers and the players is a lot of the focus. And I hate to say that. And I think there's exceptional coaches out there all over the place. And I also think there's some very poor coaches out there. And you get with a poor coach for a couple of years, it can really stunt the potential of somebody really falling in love with the game of soccer. So, you know, parents have to go about this with, you know, buyer beware. You really got to do your homework. You really got to find out who the individuals are that are thinking long term and thinking about your child.
Glenn, there's a lot of criticism in the pay to play model. And my retort to that, I'll own it. SG1 is part of the pay to play model. Most clubs in Houston are part of that model. Please let me emphasize something. We at SG1 work every year to give out scholarships for people, for families that are in financial need. We never let a child not play because of the financial. That's number one. But what's gotten lost, Glenn, in all of this is that the pay to play model is not evil. Tell me, where's the U.S. Soccer Federation in making licenses more affordable? Where's the U.S. Soccer Federation in building facilities that are used for everybody? The reality is, without those funding, without the funds, coaches aren't doing this for free. licensed coaches, professional coaches deserve to be compensated. I wish we had a system where the government or U.S. Soccer said, guys, we're paying for this, and open it up to everyone. That's just not reality, Glenn, whether it's in Houston or elsewhere.
It's not reality. I don't have a problem with the pay-for-play model. We're the United States of America. We're not Ecuador, and we're not Paraguay, and we're not Uruguay. I think the emphasis on the realities of the game and learning it and the player development comes down to the pros like guys like you. Listen, Alex, we got to close this one up. I think in the future, though, we do want to bring on a consortium of people, a group of people, and really discuss this a little bit deeper. But there are some realities that are out there that are going to be difficult to change. But we'll lean towards the positive. Great work, SG1. Just tell people where they can find out information about your club quickly.
Glenn, thank you. If anybody's interested in our club, we're mainly based out of West Houston in the Katy area, sg1soccer.com. You can find out all about us. Glenn, always a pleasure and honor. Thank you, sir.
All right, Alex. Next time we'll talk a little Dynamo too and a little Real Madrid and Man City, all right? All right.
Absolutely. Thanks, Glenn.
He heads up SG1, and we again thank them for their efforts with Kick Cancer. And by the way, they had a great speaker out there, Ethan Hughes, a young man who beat cancer, who's a motocross driver and rider. And so a thanks to Ethan as well. We're going to bring him on the show eventually. All right, that does it tonight here. Soccer Matters, ESPN 97.5, presented by John Daspit and the Daspit Law Firm. By the way, it's daspitlaw.com. It's 713-CALL-NOW, 713-CALL-NOW. They're bilingual. All of our shows obviously stream at ESPN975.com. Subscribe to the podcast, Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and on. And a big thank you, as always, to Andrew Carlson and our man Guillermo Lazo Romero. Okay, that does it tonight for Soccer Matters. And until next Tuesday night, Tom Clare, rest in peace.